Welcome to Monday Morning Moments with Mike Van Hooser, the weekly podcast dedicated to helping you make the most of the moments in your life. Hope you've had a great weekend. Today we're going to be focusing on enjoying the moment and what that means. And in my book, Moments, Making Your Life Count for What Matters Most, came up with six principles that we found that high achievers in sports, business, and life were able to use to their benefit to be able to make the most of their lives, to perform in pressure moments, to truly enjoy what they were doing and fully engage in all of the opportunities they had and really unleash their potential. Those six principles were, just briefly, focus on the moment, enjoy the moment, respond in the moment, perform in the moment, engage in the moment, and pray in the moment. And today I wanted to focus on enjoying the moment. It's interesting because I think we can go through life and not enjoy moments. There have been plenty of times in my own life that there are moments that I don't enjoy. I maybe simply don't enjoy them because they're not fun to enjoy. I don't want to go through them. Maybe it's work, or maybe it's a very painful moment that I wish that I didn't have to live through. There are other times that they're really exciting moments, but I'm not fully present in those moments. And I wrote that book, Moments, Making Your Life Count for What Matters Most, to help not only myself, but others fully engage in moments and opportunities that they have. And I think to do this, one of the principles in there is fully enjoying the moments that we have, to be present in those moments, to enjoy the opportunities that we have in front of us. So I want to talk about this principle today and really encourage you this week to focus on how you can enjoy the moments in your life and be fully present in those. So when we talk about enjoying the moment, really it's talking about appreciating the opportunity you've been given. Not only maybe this week or this particular day of life that you have, but just your life in general. Big moments occur at work, at home, on the athletic field, in your community, and all around the world. And every day you're faced with different moments in your life. If you think back on your life, maybe there were moments of triumph and success, moments filled with anxiety and stress, moments that were packed with promise and potential. Whether you were running a big race or competing in a championship game or leading a project team or business, encouraging your best friend or serving your spouse and family, you will have the opportunity to perform in a big moment. And the key question is, do you enjoy these moments? Or are you letting fear and stress trap your potential to be the kind of leader others need you to be? Are you letting anxiety steal your opportunity to do the kind of things that only a leader can do, that only you can do? To enjoy the moment, I've found that there are three supporting concepts that can make this principle come alive in our lives, and I wanted to share those principles, and these are ones that I'm still trying to put in practice myself, as well as the leaders that we work with on a day-to-day basis in sports, in business, and in life. The first part of enjoying the moment, the first key to enjoying the moment, is to understand that the journey is as important as the goal. The journey is as important as the goal. Now, I imagine if you're listening to this podcast or you read my blog, you're a high achiever, and goals are very important, and you develop goals. And I'm a goal setter. I'm a goal achiever. I like to set goals, and I like to establish a vision for my life and for other people. And I'm a competitor. I still race competitively in marathons and had a goal of qualifying for the Boston Marathon, which I accomplished over the last 2 years and was able to do that. And it took many years leading up to that, but finally achieved that goal and was really excited about that. But one of the things I learned during that process is that the journey was as important as the goal. And there were journeys of success, and there were also journeys of setbacks. And I had to learn to appreciate all of those moments to truly help me accomplish my goal. When we think about the journey being as important as the goal, we can become so preoccupied with the destination that we miss the experience of arriving. Let me say that one more time. We can become so preoccupied with the destination, the goal, the vision, that we miss the experience of arriving. of getting to that goal and the growth that comes with that. We become so locked in on the goal that we miss the opportunities along the way. The milestone moments get shoved aside for the greater goal. We accomplish some things, but we never grow in the process if we don't understand about the journey. This limited view inhibits us in two ways. First, the goals that we can accomplish in the future are incremental at best. When we don't consider the journey an important part of the process, we become transactional. We get tasks done, which is important, but we never grow our capacity to be more and to do more. And that's the most important thing about the journey, is that it builds capacity in us to be more and to do more in accomplishing our goals. In fact, we repeat experience if we become transactional in nature, and this repetition can last for years. Repetition is important in practice. It can become extremely limiting in the development of goals. I heard a story of a business executive who was recently reviewing the resume of a prospective employer for a job interview and made the following statement about the repetitious nature of the person's career. He said, "It appears as if he has had 10 years of experience," referring to this candidate, "but the reality is that he has had 1 year of experience repeated 9 times. When you think about your life, would that be said of you? As a father, do you have 10 years of growth or 1 year of experience repeated 9 times? As a spouse, do you have 10 years of growth and expansion in developing the most important human relationship you have, or 1 year of encounters repeated 9 times? As a business leader, are you growing in your career or going through the same motions year after year? As a friend, are you encouraging and challenging the people closest to you, or repeatedly going to the same places and having the same lame conversations? As an athlete, are you challenging yourself to go farther each year, or resting on the laurels of your past trophies, collecting dust on a mantle? Choosing not to respect the journey can also inhibit us from making an impact in the lives of other people. We are so focused on the goal that we miss the purpose of the moment, which always includes the opportunity to touch someone and to make an impact in someone's life in the process. We are relational beings. We leap out of the womb crying out to connect with someone. Having witnessed 5 births of my own and my own son's, I never saw one of our baby boys climb out of the crib and say, "Get out of my way, I've got stuff to do." They were crying to be comforted, to be held, and to be in relationship with another human being. According to research reported in the June 2006 issue, so this is a few years ago, the American Sociological Review, Americans are only close to 2 people. And these numbers were going down and trending down from the survey results that were done back in 1985, where Americans exclaimed they were close to 3 people. Somewhere along the way, we lost the ability to relate. Or better said, we chose not to relate. Instead of focusing on the process of reaching our goals, we become more narrowly focused on ourselves. And this limited view can happen in the context of a single moment of our whole lives. How many moments to impact someone have you missed, have I missed, because of a limited view of life? The journey is as important as the goal. You must set goals. The best people I coach are the ones who set specific and challenging goals and have a burning desire to accomplish those goals. Research has shown that you're 4 times more likely to accomplish your goal just by writing it down. The other side of that coin, though, is the journey. You must enjoy the journey. Here are some questions when pondering the concept of the journey and understanding how to enjoy the journey and appreciate the journey. The first question is, what did it take for you to reach your goal? Anytime I've asked that question in my own life, I look at the things that led to success, maybe the things that took me down the wrong path that I tried but didn't work out so much, and I really hone in and zero in on the things that will allow me to be successful in the future as well. And so when I look at what did it take me to reach my goal, not just did I accomplish the goal or not, but what about that journey? What did it take to reach that journey? I'm able to find some things along the way, normally that are process-oriented things that I did, whether it was preparation or the training I did or preparing for a big project or delegating effectively to other people to really create teamwork for our project team. Those are things that you can look at and will help you recreate success in the future. A second question to enjoying the journey is, who has helped you along the way? We can't leave out the people who have been mentors and have helped us along the way to accomplish our goals and to really understand who those people are, to show appreciation to them, and to give back to them as well, and to offer that and pay it forward to other people. A third question to enjoying the journey is, who has been impacted by your journey? I've found in my own life that along the way, there are going to be people that are impacted by maybe something I did, a choice I made, or something that led to that goal and helped somebody with information. And I've found that being able to understand that and who's been impacted by that encourages me, it motivates me, and inspires me to do more in helping other people. A fourth question to enjoying the journey is, how did your journey affect your growth as a person? So how did your journey affect your growth as a person? When you can track and be very specific about things that you did along the way that helped you to grow as a person, then that helps you and builds up that capacity that we're talking about to not only accomplish more goals, but to really fulfill your calling and to have more capacity to make a meaningful life out of your whole life, and to make a meaningful impact and do meaningful work in the future as well. So, and those are questions I've used in my own life along the way in appreciating the journey. The second part of enjoying the moment, if appreciating the journey is important, the goal, that's where is as important as the goal, that's where we start. Loving who you are is the second point. So loving who you are. And this isn't just giving yourself a big group hug and saying, oh, I love me so much. There's so much of that going on social media and other things where people talk about how great they are. This is not what we're talking about. But on the other end of the spectrum, there's so many people, I think, who don't appreciate how they were created and the unique strengths that they have, the unique quirks that they have, and focusing on the things that that's wrong, all the things that are wrong about them. Saying things like, I wish I had more hair. I wish I was taller. I wish I could sing and play the keyboard and guitars and drums. Sometimes I find myself obsessing over those own thoughts for myself. I'd love to be more patient at times with the people around me, especially my family. I wish I said the right words to my wife and boys 100% of the time, but it doesn't happen. I stop and wonder why I was created and formed in this fashion. Sometimes I question characteristics and qualities and features that even my closest friends would never notice. I don't know why we do that and get so caught up in those types of things. Maybe you can relate to the feeling of loving someone else more than yourself, the ideal you that you wish you were created to be. But we have to be content with who we are and to appreciate how God created us. And while these moments for me are few and far between, they can happen, and they can draw, maybe they're few and far between for you as well. Hopefully they are. But they can draw us into a death spiral that we've seen that can erroneously affect how we feel and what we think about ourselves. And if we venture down that path of discontentment, we can find ourselves on a slippery slope that facilitates a free fall away from the summits in our lives. The right path is important in our thoughts and in our actions. And no place have I seen this more played out as in the area of sports. People start tying their identity to their performance and then arrive in this death spiral of all the things that are wrong about how they play and what they do, and they start limiting, you know, the possibilities of what's possible based on their potential. And it just gets them away from the things that they need to do to play to their strengths and to have the right thoughts to trust their abilities to be able to accomplish their goals and achieve those summits in their lives. When I have these thoughts, I realize they are really feelings that are misdirected. And I think that's really important. Let me say that again. When we start thinking about things about the way we feel about who we are, we have to realize that there are more feelings that are misdirected than they are thoughts. And they're definitely not truths in our lives. A lot of times they're just misdirected feelings. And it's this: if someone is trying to misguide me or misguide you away from the truth in your own life, feelings can be a perfect tool in this deception. For the women who are listening to this podcast, you know what I'm talking about. For the men, maybe it's hard. The concept of feelings may seem very foreign to you, and like in a different language. Men, we do have the ability, whether you recognize it or not, to comprehend the concept of feelings, and it can be a great thing, especially when relating to the opposite sex, relating to the females in our lives, to show that we do have feelings and we can understand what that means to get in touch with those. Feelings are used against us to deceive us from loving who we really are. And that's really important to understand that. Feelings can come from known as well as unknown places in our lives. We've really seen this play out in life performance and sports psychology as well. It might be a careless comment about your appearance. And somebody says something like, I didn't know white was now in fashion after Labor Day, after you're wearing something that has white. With the size of his ears, I know he doesn't have any trouble hearing. Maybe somebody said that to you and it got you down a path of, you know, being very disappointed about your appearance or how you were created. Or it could be a comment about your performance. Maybe somebody's made a casual comment, don't mess this project up like you did last time. Or he's not an A player because he doesn't fit in. Feelings can also come out of nowhere, blinding us to the truth. Maybe it's something that was said, maybe it's something that was not said, but you felt. We have to understand that God didn't make a mistake when he created you or when he created me. And the way that we're wired, we have to appreciate that and love who we are and the opportunities that we've been given because of how we were created. While we are reminded constantly to get in touch with our feelings, we must also reconnect with our thoughts. And this is very helpful when we're dealing with feelings. This process does not involve becoming a totally self-absorbed person who stands in front of the mirror every day and proclaims 10 times, I am a beautiful person, I am somebody. We're not necessarily talking about that. That can, I guess, be encouraging and helpful, but to me, that's just more of something that is for short-term gain. That technique relies on a superficial kind of knowledge and is similar to the experience of eating cotton candy in our own experience. You feel a temporary rush from the sugar until the sugar dissolves and the lump remains in the pit of your stomach. What I'm speaking of is more than just saying a phrase 10 times in your life. What I'm speaking about is a process that helps you regain perspective about yourself and the world around you. And this process focuses on renewing your mind to the truths of life and the truth about you. When I have feelings of doubt about myself, I turn to the one who created me and discover the truths about him, which helps shed light on the truths about me. And specifically for me, I'm talking about God who created me and created you. And my faith plays a big part in that in helping me to redirect my thoughts towards those feelings because I understand him more and then I understand how he created me and trying to be the best version of that for the life that he's given me and for the people that he's put in my life as well. I realize that my actions begin with my thoughts, and that's something that we teach our athletes, we teach the leaders that we work with, is that every action begins with a thought and that my thoughts can affect my feelings. And the key question is, what thoughts are we thinking? And thoughts can affect feelings adversely or advantageously. And we have to remember that thoughts, or even though we may have a negative thought in our mind, that we can have positive thoughts that help us out. When I act on, in my own life, the truth about God and his truth about me, meaningless questions fade away and feelings become favorable. I realize that I was created for a purpose and designed for a reason, and I get in touch with that and I understand the calling that he has brought me to. I think the key question in thinking about all of this is, do you love who you are and who you're becoming? Do you let feelings affect your acceptance of core truths about your life? And if you let negative feelings affect your thoughts and ultimately your actions, you'll never reach some of those mountaintop moments that you were prepared just for you and the people that you need to impact. So understanding who you are and who you're becoming is really important. There was an equation that we put in the Moments book that went like this. It said, A equals T squared plus or minus F, as in Frank, or as in feelings in this case, for what it stood for. So A equals T squared plus or minus F. If we unpack that equation, the A stands for attitude. So if I read the question out and explained what the variables mean and the constants that are in there as well, I guess, our attitude A equals thoughts based on truth. So that's the T squared. So thoughts based on truth is a T squared plus or minus our feelings. So attitude equals thoughts based on truth plus or minus our feelings. The key is we must maintain a foundation of truth in our lives, and our thoughts must reflect these truths. And we have a choice every day whether to believe what is true about our life, but your decision does not determine its truth. And that's really important. And let me say that one more time. You have a choice in whether to believe what is true about your life, but your decision does not determine its truth. So there's some truths about your life, but your decision about whether that's true in your life or not is not the deciding factor. My father-in-law, who was a longtime pastor, used to say this. He said, "The truth is still the truth, even if no one believes it. And a lie is still a lie, no matter how many people believe it." And we get this confused, and we believe so many lies in our lives about ourselves, and we don't receive and accept the truths of what God has said is true about our lives and what other people have said is true about our lives that could be very encouraging and very motivating, but we don't receive it. But that doesn't discount the fact that it may be a truth in our life. And for some of you, that may be an aha moment where you need to get in touch with that, that it's not necessarily your decision about whether it's true that makes it truth. There are eternal truths that are out there, and there are truths that it's still the truth, even if no one believes it. I think one key question I would encourage you to ask is, what truth is God trying to communicate to you about himself and about your life, and how can you receive that? And the feelings can help or hinder you based on how you use them. And that's why we have the plus or minus F in there, is that feelings can be helpful, but they also can detract from that. I think we have enemies in our lives that try to affect our feelings, but they can do nothing about the truth in our lives. So we have to understand that to base our thoughts and ultimately our attitude on feelings alone and circumstances is the bad way to go about life. We need to make sure that we choose an attitude based on truth. And some of the most successful athletes I work with have a strong foundation of faith in their lives, and they base their life on truth. And they persevere through difficult moments by focusing on the fact that God created them, he loves them, and he has a plan for their lives. I have found by focusing our thoughts on the right truths, our feelings will be affected in a positive manner, and our attitude will follow from that. So we've covered two principles to enjoying the moment: understanding that the journey is as important as the goal, and understanding that we need to love who we are and how we were created, and truly get in touch with how that can affect and impact other people. The third part of enjoying the moment is loving what you do. And you may be asking, well, who wants to hate what they do? Who hates what they do? Well, apparently about 80% of the population. This is according to a Harris Interactive poll that was done by Franklin Covey a few years back, who said that only 1 in 5 people was enthusiastic about their teams and organization's goals. Moreover, only 1 in 5 workers said they understand how their tasks fit into their teams and their organization's goals. And only half of the people polled were happy and satisfied with the work they had accomplished at the end of the week. This poll surveyed more than 23,000 workers, managers, and executives across all industries and job functions. Can you imagine doing something that occupies a significant amount of your time and not being fired up about it? Maybe you can. Maybe that's where you are today, is that you don't love what you do, and there's no passion around it, and you're not fired up about it. Work can consume up to 50% of your time in a typical week. For mothers or dads who take care of their kids full-time, the percentage of time for responsibilities is even greater. Shouldn't we be fully engaged in something that we love to do if we're going to spend that much time doing it? Some people never realize they have the freedom to ask these essential questions. Questions such as, do I love my work? I'm not saying that if you decide the answer is no to that, to quit immediately. I don't think that's a wise strategy, but I think you have to get in touch with, do you love what you do? Is it playing to your strengths? Are you passionate about what you do? Obviously, there are ways to find hobbies that can your passions can be directed towards those hobbies, and that's a way that you can find contentment around that as well. But I think if we spend a majority of our time doing something, we need to love it. We may not love every aspect about it, but we need to make sure that we love what we do, because we're going to be more fully engaged in that. We're not going to be just compliant and transactional in how we do it. We're going to be committed and transformational as we do it. Another key question in asking about if we love what we do, what are my strengths and talents? So some of you may not have ever taken a StrengthsFinder assessment or just really made a list and said, what do I believe my strengths, talents, and gifts are? Not my weaknesses, but what are my strengths and how can I play more to those strengths? A lot of times there's frustration built up from people who keep doing the same things over and over because they don't understand that that's not a strength of theirs. And I love what Andy Stanley said about strengths is, he said, your fully exploited strengths are of far greater value to your organization. And it could be family, community, church, home, whatever. Your fully exploited strengths are far more valuable to your organization that you interact with day in and day out than your marginally improved weaknesses. Now, granted, we have to have a certain level of proficiency in some of those weaknesses, but no matter how much time we spend on our weaknesses, they will always be a weakness for us. They may be an improved weakness, but when we're playing to our strengths and we're fully exploiting the opportunities of our strengths, we're going to be a far greater value to the people around us. And that's important, because if we're doing that, then we're probably going to love what we do and have passion about that. Another question is, what do those who know me best say my strengths and talents are? So not only are you making a list of strengths and talents and jotting that down and getting in touch with that and playing to that, but what do the people who know me best say my strengths and talents are? You may find that there are people who say, well, I think this is a strength of yours. I think leadership, you're a great leader. You give encouragement to people. You're a visionary. And you may not even think you're a visionary, but in a certain context, they see you as somebody who sees a vision past today and a vision for a project and a vision for your life. And so, you know, those are some things to get in touch with. Start asking the people around you, what do they say your strengths and talents are? Ask yourself, what are you really passionate about? Because there may be some things that are strengths, but you're not really passionate about them anymore. I've gone through this assessment in my own life and going through some transitions and being at different points in my life and really trying to understand where God was leading me in that moment. And we've also used that with the people that we coach and to get them to make two different lists. One's a strengths list and one's a passions list, and we're trying to find alignment between those things. But I think it's really important, and if you don't really like the word passion, you can think about, well, what fires me up? What do my eyes light up about when I start talking about it? And again, some of those you'll pursue as hobbies, but there are a lot of those that you could pursue as a part of your work and doing truly meaningful work and fulfilling your calling in life. Another question is, do my strengths, talents, and passions line up with what I'm currently doing? And that's a great assessment. Again, it's not a quit immediately type thing. It could be for some people, especially if they have something lined up or they're going to go start a new venture and they do it in a smart and prepared way. But I think it's important to ask that question. And if it's not, to understand how you can fix that. One of the ways to fix that, if you're going to stay in the organization that you're in, might be to look around, look at other opportunities, and maybe there's people you can talk to who, you know, you can have a career discussion with and start to talk about new ways that you might be able to leverage those strengths at the current organization you're at, or maybe it's time to start looking at something else, but to go through that in a purposeful and prepared way. A couple more questions. Am I fully engaged in my work? I think you'll know the answer to that question. We don't want to be like one of the statistics in that Harris Interactive poll. We want to be fully engaged in our work and be those truly engaged people that Gallup talks about in their own research as well. And if you're not fully engaged, again, get to the questions of why is that? And usually it has to do with, am I leveraging my strengths and am I engaging passions and being purposeful about that? Another way to ask that question might be, on Monday morning, do I have a yearning that I must be there? Or is it, man, I wish I had a longer weekend because I've got to go into work today. We have to make sure that we're committed and transformational in the things that we're doing and that there's a yearning that we must be there because we can't wait to go and do some meaningful work today and to unleash the capacity of other people as well. And the final question in loving what you do is, do I make a positive impact? So asking that question and being self-aware, do I make a positive impact in the people around me? And that will tell you, I think, a lot about if you love what you do and if you're doing meaningful work with your lives. Asking the right questions takes an act of courage that is sometimes foreign to our daily lives. You are never going to be fully content in life unless you love what you do. This concept is broader than a single area of your life like work. Loving what you do has application in your activities in your community, your church, lives of your spouse and kids. And you need to make sure that you're engaged in that and appreciate the people that you're leading and influencing and the people that are counting on you to make a difference in their lives and to be the person that you were called to be. Life is fleeting and it happens in a moment. Why spend it doing something you don't really like, or worse, being chained to something you hate? I've known people who spend an entire lifetime going through the motions, never realizing something more exciting was waiting for them on the other side of the right question. So I hope this helps you today to really think about today and this week and the coming months and the rest of your life, really, to enjoy the moments that you have in your lives. Again, we're not going to enjoy all of them. Some of them are going to be very painful to go through, and I'm not asking you to enjoy something that's painful. But I think that these three things, knowing that the journey is as important as the goal, loving who you are and how you were created, and loving what you do every day, can help you lead a more meaningful life, and it can help you truly enjoy the moments in your life. Hope this has been helpful to you today and impactful, and go out and apply it, teach it to other people. You can always subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, and we appreciate people who've done that. Give us some feedback on the blog site at mikevanhooser.com. And we just want to continue to help you make the most of your moments in your life and to lead effectively and to serve others well.